You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching and author of the Bold Business Book. Today we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Brandon Donkersgood at Legacy Tax and Financial. Brandon, how's it going today?
It's going well, James.
All right. Glad to have you here. Tax time is essentially rolling here, right?
It is. Yes, it is. It is the busy season, as we call it.
Nice. So how are you feeling about that?
I'm excited. It's, you know, it's early yet. If we did this on April 10th, you know, I'd probably feel a little differently about it.
But probably not be here if it was April 10th.
Very true. Yes.
So why don't you tell me a story? How long have you had your own business?
Just over 10 years.
Nice. Holy cow. Congratulations on the decade. That's a big deal.
Oh, thanks.
Boom. So what made you decide to become an accountant?
I always had an interest in how things worked from a financial standpoint. You know, like engineers have it, like they want to know how something works. Like I always wanted to know how that company made money or how much money people made or things related to money and numbers. And then the other thing that happened is I was in college and kind of knew I wanted to do business. And I took an intro to accounting course, which is kind of usually like people dread. And I loved it.
Sure.
And it
was just really?
Just like, this is it. Boom.
Nice.
Done. That was it.
All right.
So then I just took off from there, took more accounting courses and was like, yep, this is what I want to do.
So did you ever work for someone else as an accountant?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The first, I got an internship. I graduated from UW-Whitewater and they have a really good internship program in their accounting school where you, during tax season, you actually serve a 15-week internship and it's actually paid.
Oh,
and
nice.
They place you with all accounting firms all over the area. So I got placed with actually somebody in Sun Prairie here, a gentleman that's no longer in business, but he...
Your doing, right?
No, not my doing at all. No, not my doing. He was reaching retirement age. So yeah, so I started working for him, worked for him for about 4 years as I was still finishing my degree.
Sure.
And then the first couple of years out of school.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So did you know ahead of time that you were eventually going to start your own gig?
I kind of always had that itch. The trigger point for me was when I was in college, my dad lost his job. He'd working for the same company for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And I remember the night I was at work in college and my mom called me. She's all upset. And he'd worked for the same company for 25 years. And on a Friday afternoon, got shown the door because there was new bosses and new corporate takeover, all that type of stuff. Used to be a small business. That was larger. And I remember that night going home and telling Natalie, my fiance at the time, not my wife, that I never wanted that to happen to me. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of, I think, the trigger point for me that said, I'm going to do it. But I always kind of knew that I didn't want somebody else telling me what I wanted to do.
Gotcha. Nice. It's the authority. What's that?
Yes, exactly.
Not a fan.
Yep.
So was there, was knowing that when you had your job, did you set up a clear next step? Like at this point, I'm going to start my own business or just kind of see how it happens? I'll roll and.
It was definitely not a clear like path to where it was going to go. I actually originally thought that I would actually kind of take over this guy I worked for. And then just, there was some personality conflicts that didn't happen. So then I kind of was like, well, I need to do something else. And it's like, well, how do I do it now? So I kind of had to figure it out on my own a little bit. I had some encouragement by some people to say, you know, you really should try doing this on your own.
Sure.
So, but the month I decided to start my business was also the month our first son was born.
Oh.
So, yeah. So
perfect timing.
Why not? Just, but so that definitely led to some, basically I started my business part-time what I did. I worked for a nonprofit as a business manager, about 30 hours a week. And then I left me the rest of the week to do my business.
Sure.
And it allowed us to have some amount of income as the baby came so that we could be stable at home.
So Natalie, your wife, how did she feel about you starting your own business at the same time?
Well, she was really not a fan of where I was working before.
Okay.
So she was all on board with it.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this is different. This is a change.
Yeah.
Change is good. All right.
But she was definitely nervous about the being self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I did as I was trying to grow my business and had this other job was try to keep it from being too much of a strain at home. Like where is, you know, where's the next revenue source going to come from. Sure. You know, where's the next check coming from so mm-hmm. we can pay our mortgage. So we tried to save and structure it so that it wasn't reliant upon that.
Sure.
So we didn't have this huge stress of like,
right,
where's the money coming from? Now? So I think now after 10 years, she finally gets that, like, being self-employed, I'm actually more secure in mm-hmm. what I'm doing now
sure.
than if I worked for some other company.
Very true.
You know, she didn't get, I would say for the first 5, maybe even 7 years, I think she probably felt like, and a lot of people, like, you know, well, it's risky, right? You know, you're right. in business for your own. I'm like, the way I look at it is, you know, I have about, you know, 50 to 70 business clients I help on a monthly basis,
mm-hmm.
you know, and do 600 plus tax returns a year. So mm-hmm. I have a lot of bosses.
Yeah.
Is the right. way I look at it, yep. my business. So mm-hmm. if one of them gets mad at me, I'm not losing my job.
Right.
So that's right. kind of how I look at it.
Whereas if you worked for someone and you had that one boss and they got mad at you, you could very, very easily lose your job.
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
Yep, definitely.
Or somebody makes some bad decisions completely irrelevant from what you do and they just end up closing the business down.
Yes.
So that's a big deal. Yes. Completely understand that.
Yep. Definitely.
And taxes are something that's not necessarily going away anytime soon.
No. No, it's not going away. Accounting is one of those professions that's hard to automate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taxes are becoming more automated. Obviously, there's all sorts of online stuff.
Sure.
People that can do it, but I mean the idea of needing an accountant to help understand your financials and, mm-hmm. and take care of those things is always going to be something that's going to be in need.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because it seems like from my experience, some of the rules seem to be on the verge of subjective or that you could argue them one way or the other, which seems like a challenge for a business like yours when you're supposed to be like, hey, I'm going to take care of your taxes and then realize that there's certain sections that are subjective that the IRS or someone, a different accountant maybe, could look at them one way, you look at them a different way, and then the consumer is just like, I don't know, I hired you, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah. So one of the things that I have to try to figure out, you know, so there's really two types of accountants or CPAs, I would say. Ones that are by the book, very conservative. That's how you think the average accountant or CPA that is letter of the law, going to mm-hmm. favor the law rather than the business owner or something else, because we don't want any risk mm-hmm. that anything could ever go wrong. And then there's people that do what I do, and I fit into this category, that my first goal is to take care of the taxpayer or my clients
mm-hmm.
and look out for their interest and try to navigate the system mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, works for them.
Sure.
That they're not paying any more than they have to.
Sure.
So yeah, that is a challenge sometimes because people come to me, I never told I couldn't do this. It's like, well, no, you can. I mean, and I one of the things I try to do when I start with people is understand their risk tolerance.
Sure.
Because some people have no risk or have no tolerance for risk.
Gotcha.
And so
sure.
then if that's the case, okay, then we're going to treat it a little bit differently.
Sure.
Most business owners are trying to pay as little a tax as possible within mm-hmm. the rules that mm-hmm. are out there in the gray areas that you have to kind of try to work in.
Sure, sure. Yeah, the taxes are high enough, so there's nothing wrong with trying to lower them, really.
Correct, yep. mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah. Cool. So did you, when you first started going to school, were you with your fiancée at the time?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So she knew you were going down the road of being an accountant, and she still married you?
Yes. All right. Yes, definitely. Well, she didn't know that I was going to be an accountant when we first started dating.
Okay.
So that, I mean, because I actually started dating her before I was in, she's a year older than I am, before okay. I was in college.
So you're like, I tricked you. I didn't know I was going to marry an accountant.
Yeah.
Nice. So you have kids.
Yes.
And how do they come in the picture in regards to you being a business owner?
Well, I mean, I think that they are a large part of my why.
Okay,
and
sure.
that, you know, obviously flexibility mm-hmm. is a huge reason, I think, why somebody would want to own a business.
Sure.
And so for me, having the flexibility to set my own schedule to a degree, mm-hmm. that's changed as it's grown and things sure. like that. But
sure.
being able to say, oh, I'm going to leave early to go. One of the things that I like to do is coach some of their teams.
Oh, nice.
They're big into sports. So, okay. you know, being able to leave at 3 o'clock in the falls when I coach their flag football team.
Sure.
And not have any issues with their, you know, anybody telling me I can't be there or something mm-hmm. like that. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's definitely cool. And it's interesting. My oldest is 10, will be 11 soon. And yeah, so they're starting to ask more questions about, well, what is it exactly that you do?
Sure.
You know, you help people with their taxes. What does that mean?
Study your math.
Yeah. So one of my goals as a business owner is to create a business that is attractive to them, that they see as a provides for a certain lifestyle.
Sure.
And it makes our lives better.
Sure.
I work with a lot of business owners that their kids want to have nothing to do with their business because they saw the business as what pulled mom or dad away from them.
Sure.
And they didn't get that time. So, sure. I mean, obviously I'm very busy this time of year, put in a lot of hours, you know, try to communicate the sacrifice that it's taking and, you know, try to then when we have fun and go on trips and do things the rest of the year, you know, this is what the hard work and the time that I'm away, this is one of the rewards of it.
Right.
So.
But realistically, if you worked for someone as an accountant, it would be the same situation, right?
Probably a little. I mean, I probably wouldn't put in maybe quite as many hours as I do now.
Okay.
I mean, there, you know, I'm at this pinch point in my business where I'm getting ready to hire a full-time person, you know, kind of continue to grow and take the next step. So, I mean, I probably would work a little bit less, but I wouldn't maybe have the control of it. Like right now, I try to work, you know, evenings I have appointments. First of all, I don't work a couple nights a week. I get home by 5:30, 6 o'clock. So we can have dinner and partake in some activities. And then the other nights I work, I try to make sure that I'm home before they go to bed. So I get about a half hour with them before they go to sleep. Where, and then I can go back to work when I'm at home. That might not have been possible if you work for. I do think that is changing, though, from other friends I have that are in the accounting. Well, I think it's changing everywhere, but in the accounting business, there's a lot of work-life balance talk about that, you know, flexibility in schedules and stuff like that. So
do you see it as just talk or do you see people actually?
No, I, from what the people that I see and that I associate with, I think it's actually, it's pretty real, especially in the mid-size firms that are in the area.
Sure.
You know, because the reality is that, you know, the generation, people younger than us, realistically, they're coming into the, in the industry, they, that's work-life balance is important, and having the time to, you know, freedom to not be stuck in front of a cubicle for, you know, X amount of hours. Like, oh, I can work from home, or I can work, you know, I can choose when I do some of my work, and as long as I get my job done, it doesn't matter so much when I do it.
Sure.
So I think that that's definitely more important. So
there,
people are having to do that, otherwise they're going to be doing starting on their own or doing other things because they want that flexibility.
Sure. So what have you learned? You've been in business for over 10 years. So what have you learned since you first started your business till now?
Processes.
Maybe not the whole list. Yeah, but like top
processes
three.
And processes and procedures are really important.
Okay.
So when you start a business, most businesses, I think at least, you're not thinking about those types of things.
Sure.
You're just thinking about how do I get more customers in the door?
Right.
How do how do I grow this thing so it can be sustaining? So I can earn a fair income off it and support my family or whatever, if you don't have a family. But so getting processes and procedures and getting those things in place is a huge deal. If you can do it up front, why you're doing things, how you're doing them.
Right.
That's a big one, you know, and then a second one that I try to is really just make sure you're being nice to people. Like it sounds stupid, right?
Right.
But it just be nice and courteous. There's, and I don't know if it's in my profession, but a lot of people, like customer service in my, in taxes and accounting is not really part of the deal.
Sure. They don't teach that.
They don't teach that. And people actually somewhat don't come to expect that.
Oh,
they kind of, they kind of expect to just be told what to do.
Sure.
You know, just, you know, very, you know, kind of rigid and not like, hey, let's have a conversation. How are things going?
Sure.
So I worked when I was in college, I worked at the Hilton Hotel.
Okay.
I went to, I started in Madison, then transferred to Whitewater.
Sure.
So the first 4 years or so I worked at the Hilton Hotel and I worked at the front desk. And so that's a life lesson in customer service, right?
Well, I bet.
When you're working at a high end hotel like that, the, so I kind of have the customer service background. And so, you know, not just telling people what to do, but being concerned if they're satisfied with what's going on, talking to them, those types of things.
Sure.
And I was just on a phone call earlier today, actually, with a guy that used another firm last year. And he's like, yeah, all I ever did was drop it off and picked it up. And they told me where to sign. And that's all I got.
That was it.
That was it.
Wow.
The amount of people.
We're accountants. You're a number.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And the amount, especially this time of year, especially with tax, just tax returns, there's a ton of that out there.
Interesting.
And so I didn't start that way. I didn't even realize that was actually how it was done.
Sure.
But I was like, well, that's not how I'm going to do it. Like, right. Obviously I like doing taxes and like, you know, crunching numbers, but I mean, the part that gives me the most joy or energy is meeting with people and mm-hmm. seeing how you can help them and, mm-hmm. and help them understand things. Sure. So yeah, the idea of like, if I just had to sit in front of like input tax returns all day, I'd be miserable.
Sure.
But actually getting to meet with 10, 15 people a day,
right.
talk to them, figure out what's going on with their lives mm-hmm. and how the taxes or, you know, other financial stuff impacts it is cool.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So it's more the people side of it. You yes. understand who you're doing the taxes for.
Yes. And then that communication also with the people, make sure that people don't, things aren't missed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy when you have a very non-personal transaction.
Sure.
That's just like, oh, here's the documents I think I need based on what, who, oh, what.
Sure.
You know, what.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the things, the critical part pieces of, especially with new clients, is an intake appointment
mm-hmm.
where you sit down and you talk to them and, okay, did you have any life changes? Did you get married? Did you change jobs? Did you, you know, do you have a little business or, you know, other things like mm-hmm. that? So you actually understand what's going on a little bit more.
Sure.
So that you make sure you have all the information and maximize what their, you know, what their return can be.
Interesting. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Where the other accountants are just push them in, shove them out kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's a transaction is happening. So they're making money. So they really don't care.
Yep.
Whether it's a good return or not.
Correct. Yeah. They're just trying to get it done. And especially in these, I would say small firms that are larger than mine, maybe they've got a few partners and 5-10 employees. I mean, there's just, there can be a lot of pressure just to get mm-hmm. X amount of returns done.
Gotcha.
Because you got to earn your salary and we got all these things to get done.
Sure.
And, you know, so as I grow, I want to make sure that that's not the type of atmosphere that I create.
Sure.
That it's, you know, not just about, I mean, obviously it's a business, you got to make money,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's about more than that. And ultimately, right. if you're treating people right, going back to that question, if you're treating people right and being nice to them,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be much more likely to come back.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. So what kind of surprises did you run into when you started your business for the first time?
Let's see here. I think probably one of the biggest surprises was just, you know, advertising and marketing and that type of stuff.
Okay.
I mean,
how to or where to?
Yeah.
Or?
Kind of, you know, you just, you know, I remember the first year I started in business, I just put an ad in the local paper.
Sure.
Because I'm like, that's what you do, right? And it was like, you know, okay. 10 years ago, I mean, it was, you know, I'm like, okay, let's try that out. And not really knowing where to take the next step.
Sure.
In terms of how you, I knew nothing about networking.
Okay.
And that's obviously how you and I know each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
how I've grown a large part of my business is through networking. So
mm-hmm.
those are things that I had no idea about, that it was just like, oh, well, I do a good job. People will come to you if you do a good sure. job. But
mm-hmm.
how do you, and then I think the other thing is just how to communicate your value to people.
Oh, sure.
That's more of a recent thing, not like mm-hmm. That wasn't, you know, when I started, but
sure,
you know, in today's world, when you can see on TV that TurboTax will do your return for free
mm-hmm.
and they're dumbing down the value or creating no value
sure.
for the actual doing the tax return.
Mm.
So you have to try to help people understand that.
Sure.
That there is value in having a professional do it.
Absolutely.
So,
all right. Yeah. So that has to be a challenge, I suppose. Just like with any business, there's challenges and competition that may or may not be necessarily direct, but that can dumb down the value of something.
And just trying to communicate that with people, because people just think, you know, there's a lot, you know, so you've got a wide array of, you know, you got the softwares and the online stuff
mm-hmm.
for the do-it-yourselfers, and that's always going to be there, and that's fine. And then
sure.
you have people that do what I do that I've are just form filler outers, which
sure.
is a really technical term.
Sure,
of course, right.
Well, you understand.
Yeah, right. And all their only job is to fill out, they're just helping you fill out your form.
All right.
That's all they're doing. They're not really interested in whether you're saving the most you can on taxes.
Sure.
You give them the documents, you fill out the forms,
mm-hmm.
they give you the forms back.
Sure.
Done.
Fill in the blank, sign your name, move on with your life.
Yeah. And, right. you know, and so then that obviously does not create as much value and shouldn't cost as much.
Sure.
As having a CPA or somebody, you know, sit down and talk with you about your situation, help with planning.
Sure.
You know, things like that. So people that are my clients
mm-hmm.
get it because mm-hmm. they've experienced it.
Sure.
And when they refer people to me, they mm-hmm. they do that because they get it and they've understood that.
Sure.
But trying to get somebody off the street,
right.
that's maybe a cold referral or something, mm-hmm. to understand that,
sure.
when their first question is, how much does it cost?
Sure, right?
It's like...
I always joke with people, right? If people ask how much it costs and they don't understand what they're asking about, how do you know if their price is high or low?
Yeah.
Right? It's like going to some indigenous place and just saying like, hey, we got these TVs. And they're like, how much is it? Like, you don't even know what this does.
Yeah.
How do you know if it's a good price or a bad price?
Exactly.
You have no understanding. So,
yes.
But I feel like in my business and a lot of other businesses, people start out with price because they don't want to be dumb, right? They don't want to come off as dumb, and they don't necessarily know what other questions to ask.
Yeah.
Because asking a question like, will you be nice to me? Of course I'll be nice to you, right? Who would say no to that?
Right.
But that's a realistic question or realistic concern.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, like, okay, I can answer price, or I can ask about price, because that's an objective thing, right?
Yes.
So they're in that position of trying to collect information to understand value, but they don't know what questions to ask to understand the value. So
yes.
I only got price. That's all I got. I don't even know what you do.
Yep. Yep. And then, so I've got a pretty good kind of spiel to kind of go over with people that,
okay.
you know, kind of try to, of course, overcome that objection.
Sure.
You know, talk about education and understanding, and it's not just as simple as filling out your forms.
Sure.
You know, and so that helps some people, but then there's still, you know, the issue is, you know, there's still the price, you know, and it's like, well, okay, if it's X amount of dollars, that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's more than what I was anticipating it was
sure.
going to cost. And,
right.
And it becomes, it's a frustration of mine where, you know, it's like almost, it's like this, you don't want to decrease the value of your services by like making the price lower. That's
mm-hmm.
one, talk about another mistake I made, is I devalued the price of my time early on because I just wanted to get people in.
Sure. Super common.
And it was always like, oh, well, you know, somebody would call me up, how much does it cost to do a tax return? $200. Well, can you do it for 140? Or, you know, or I have another guy that did it for this. And
sure.
And then at that time I was like, you know, I didn't, that person was, you know, a live customer. I'm
sure.
like, yes, I'll do that.
Price matching services.
Yes, because, you know, I just wanted customers in.
Sure.
I needed clients. I needed people in front of me. So, you know, the way I looked at it was, oh, well, 140 is better than zero.
Right.
So let's go ahead and give that a try. And then when you have a certain price point
mm-hmm.
and people refer you, they refer you based on that certain price point.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, oh, well, Brandon does our taxes and it's great. And it's 140 bucks. And so then you end up with five other people that they referred that
sure.
they're at the same lower price point.
Sure.
So
they have an expectation and maybe you're above their normal expectation.
Yeah.
And it's tough for you to eat when you don't have any,
right.
You're not being accurately compensated.
Exactly. So that was definitely as my business has grown and having, reconcile what I should be getting for what my price should be versus
mm-hmm.
maybe what it is for some people.
Sure.
And
sure.
It creates a challenge.
I understand that when you're first starting out, people will ask you if you do just about anything, and you'll be like, yeah, because I got to pay my mortgage. So
yep.
we'll figure it out. So that can be a challenge. I completely
yep,
understand that. And just in people that I talk to, they still have a challenge in valuing their time,
mm-hmm.
especially in the opportunity cost for stuff that they're
yep.
they're not directly getting paid for.
Yep.
Well, you know, whether it's, well, I guess I was going to say bookkeeping, but in your case, maybe not so much. But something, some other task that they have to do, you know, mopping floors or whatever, that they could pay somebody else to do that. So
mm-hmm.
that they can get paid by the people where they make money.
Yep.
Like they assume, hey, I'm here, I'm available, I can just do it, and there's no cost directly to my business, but there is.
Yep.
So
yep.
that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a huge challenge in the financial world, whether it's investments or whether it's taxes or accounting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we give away, I was at a conference last year, and we give away so much of our value
sure.
without getting compensated for it
mm-hmm.
in that space, in the advice space, so
sure.
to speak, where
yep.
you're just like, oh, I have a quick question. It's something that I know off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And they've maybe spent 3 hours researching on the internet trying to find out what it should be. And
sure.
then, like, I can answer it in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for me. So it's like, oh, sure. I can help you understand whether you can write off a home office or not.
Sure.
And then, you know, give them that answer right away. And then what?
Right. Then do they convert over to you?
Yeah. Do they, or sometimes they say, sure, there's people out there that I run across. I've gotten a better eye for them. Just information seekers that are not really ever looking for your services.
Sure.
They're just looking to get information from you for free.
Sure.
And they're just trying to get as much information so that they don't have to ever pay for anything.
Oh, interesting.
So
that's going to be a challenge.
So you try to kind of weed that out a little bit, but yeah, I mean, because, you know, somebody calls me up on the phone that's a new customer and has a number of questions, and of course you're, you know, just once again trying to be nice, try to be considerate, try to be understanding. You answer a few of those questions, and then it's like, you know, and then you get off the phone, and then, you know, obviously hopefully they see the value and understand you're going to treat them right,
right,
and come in. But then you're like, oh, I just answered all their questions. Now they can go back to TurboTax and fill out their own tax return.
Sure. Yep.
Because they understand it.
Yep. And you spent 15 minutes, right?
Yep.
Unscheduled. Mm-hmm. So you interrupted something else that you were doing, right? Yep. Paid returns that got delayed, right?
But I kind of believe in the motto of paying it forward. And that's how I've always operated my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, it's been fairly successful so far. At least it's providing things for my family and doing you know, what I wanted to do. So it's a matter of, you know, okay, well, I'm going to continue the, you know, kind of that pay it forward motto has worked. So as much as I sometimes have other information in my ear about don't give your services away or, you know, don't, you know, be careful, you know, it's like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do what I do and it'll all come out in the wash.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because there's some people that are just like, give away all the information you possibly can. And then charge an enormous amount for the stuff that you actually charge for to essentially make up for that. But then you're giving away all the stuff to prove that you're the expert.
Yeah.
Then the other side is just like charge for everything, right? Yeah. Anytime you touch a doorknob or pick up a phone, you should be charging somebody for it.
Yeah.
And that's not realistic.
Yeah.
So there has to be some, like, we got to get paid for our knowledge, but we also can't be stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe arrogant or whatever the thing is, right? Me with my business coaching, I get people asking me something. And I immediately want to go into coaching mode. Yep. And then you're talking to them for a half hour, realizing, like, I didn't get paid for that. I gave you thousands of dollars in value and information, which you could do with it if you actually took the action from it. Maybe you won't take the action from it, right?
Right.
Realistically. But
yep.
You're just like, oh, okay, we got to figure out how to organize this better.
Yep.
So that maybe there's a point where when the conversation goes over a certain duration that you're like, you know what, it sounds like this is a good time for a meeting or something like that, instead of, let me just tell you endlessly what we do.
Yes. Yeah. So that's my, I think as my business transitions and goes to the net, you know, it's continued that trying to hit that point, you know, where I think I heard recently in B&I group that, well, you and I ran at one point together.
Yeah.
You know, there's an attorney in there and they kind of did it where the first 15 minutes is free on a phone call. But then as soon as it goes more than that, and really all you're doing is kind of answering a few questions.
Sure.
And then as soon as you get past that 15 minutes, then the clock starts, or then there is this, basically it's like an information gathering session.
But that makes sense, right?
Yep.
Because instead of asking them, the buyer, potential customer, asking about price because they don't know what else to ask, that 15 minutes is probably somewhat of an education as to this is what you should be asking.
Yep.
Right. This is what to be aware of. Right.
Yep.
And in over the course of 15 minutes, they should get enough to be able to know, become a relatively smart consumer.
Sure. Yep.
And if they're still asking specific questions, it sounds like they're super smart consumer because now they're getting free information.
Yes.
It's like there's that crossroads. And if a time limit, 15 minutes, that's great that they have that.
Yeah. And then after that, it's you wanted the initial consultation. There's a fee for that.
Sure.
You know, or you have additional questions, you know, sure. So that's where, for me, trying to value that, it goes back to not giving away your information. And, you know, because I've always said, well, I'll sit down with somebody especially like a business owner, I'll sit down with them for an hour and talk to them about their business and give them information. Well, the reality is that in an hour, I've just given them all, especially people that are starting their business.
Sure.
In an hour, I can give them pretty much everything they need to know about how to manage their taxes and accounting.
Yep.
I mean, at least the basics of it. You know, do you need an LLC? Do you need, what's the difference between that and an S corp? Do I need separate bank accounts? How do I write off my mileage? You know, how do I, you know, should I use an accounting software? All those things. Like, I can answer a ton of questions. And it's always been like a pride of like, well, sure, I can give that to the business owner. And the idea is if I give that to them, and they're successful in business, they'll need more of my services later on.
They'll understand the value.
Exactly. But I'm starting to flip my flip it on the head a little bit and think, well, maybe I should be charging for that. Maybe, you know, and maybe not like full value, but, you know, even like $50 or, you know, $75, not like a full value of my time, but just, you know, just so that they are kind of committed.
Yeah, they have a vested interest in it.
Before they, and I've started to do that a little bit during this tax season, because every once in a while I get some people that just have some questions, like they're do-it-yourselfers, and they have a few things. And so I've started doing that a little bit more, and it's very interesting. I had one guy that came in, and we had set up the, you know, he was going to get a half hour of my time. And it was all interesting because I usually try to, you know, start with a little bit of just small talk, like, you know, how are you doing? Find out just a little bit of background. He's like, well, I just kind of want to get to the answer, you know, get to my questions because I got this half hour of your time and I'm paying for it.
Wow.
And so I was like, all right. I mean, not in like a rude way he wasn't, but just very like, okay, like this is great. Like,
Clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking, which is interesting, but also not as fulfilling as I would like it to be.
Oh, sure.
Because basically he's going to pay me for that half hour of his time and he's not coming back.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Especially with like individual tax returns.
So he treated it like some people treat Groupon for a massage.
Yes.
I just got the cheap accountant for this little discount and I'll move on to the next cheap one with no loyalty.
Well, I don't even think he's going to move on to the next one. The reality is with what we do, he got his questions answered.
Oh.
And now he can go use TurboTax or some online software and do it himself.
Is it that easy?
A lot. Yeah, I mean, if you know,
for most, some returns,
for a lot of returns, it is. I mean, see, you're a business owner; it's not easy, but I mean, for a lot of people, it's pretty straightforward. They get a W-2, maybe they got a little bit of this or that. You know, a few investments. You know, home. You know, they own a home. You know, some of it is that easy, and they just have a couple of pressure points or a couple of key questions that they want answered. Like this guy, for instance, was nearing retirement age.
Okay.
So he had some questions about how taxes were going to work in retirement and things like that. But so it was like, so it's kind of interesting because it's like, okay, well, I'm getting paid for my time, but it's also like he's not going to become a client of mine.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so then from a business owner standpoint, that's really kind of empty. You know, versus if I spend the half hour and maybe I'm not charging. So this, you know, if I'm not charging for it, but then they become a client.
Sure.
And then once they become a client, I mean, I have a very, you know, greater than 90% retention rate.
Nice.
So then they're going to come back.
Sure.
You know, and hopefully my goal is to build, you know, lifelong or long-term relationships with people, not to just be, you know, somebody that is just filling a small little void, you know.
Sure.
I want to be their tax guy or their financial guy.
Right.
And, you know, we got our guy, right? It's kind of cool to be that for somebody.
Right.
And then once you're that person and you've instilled, especially with what I do, once you've instilled that trust, I mean, then you're there.
Then you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
Because it's such a pain to find someone else, or why would they? Right.
Yeah, I mean, if they trust you, I mean, it's all about trust, like a lot of things in business, right?
Huge.
It's trust. So once they trust you, if something starts to change where the trust starts to erode, whether it's a mistake that's made or whether there's something else going on, you know, maybe they get married or somebody else tells them something, you know. But, you know, after you get past like the second or third year, once you've kind of really developed like that relationship and that, you know, then if there's a question about something, they're going to call you and ask you first about it before making the assumption that something's wrong.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
That's interesting. I was just chatting with some people this morning, a business meeting I was chatting with, and we were talking about the errors, the small mistakes that people can make with exponential consequences. So like, for example, with Calls on Call, my business, we had one of the receptionists made a tiny, tiny, tiny mistake. She included a link. No, I take that back. She had an autoresponder on because she was out for the day. And then one of our clients had her email forwarded to my receptionist. So then when somebody emailed my client, they got the auto response from the receptionist. So it's just a tiny thing. Typically wouldn't be a big deal. And it shouldn't have been set up that way, but it was. And then client, of course, went off the handle. And I'm like, What a tiny, tiny, tiny mistake, right? And it, in the end, it doesn't matter who told who or who set it up, the forwarding email, right? In the end, it was a tiny mistake. But the result was just exponentially huge. And I see something like that with mistakes with taxes, right?
Yep.
How you could have, like, I just missed a decimal point. What's the big deal? And then, but consequences could be gargantuan.
Yes.
So how do you work with that?
Well, I mean, I think the big thing is obviously you just got to take the extra time to make sure things are accurate. So first of all, I mean, you know, in our case, it's, you know, a number on a form, right? So you need to make sure that the information that you're transferring from one document into the tax return is accurate, and you know, do double, you know, a double checking process. You know, the typical process when you do tax return is you enter the information in, and then you go back after it's done, and then you do, basically there's a little check mark you can make next to this is your box whatever on your W-2 that this is your wage, this is your federal withholding. So there's things like that that you just, you know, and then on top of that, there's, you know, there's a second, there's actually a review process. So I don't do all my own tax returns anymore. So I review all the tax returns and I'm reviewing for things to make sure that we didn't miss something. But yeah, that is definitely can be a challenge where you, you know, something, and then the IRS starts questioning, and you want to talk about making people nervous. Like they get IRS letters and they just, nobody wants that.
I bet even if somebody gets a birthday card from the IRS, they get nervous, right?
Yes, exactly. So they don't want those. They don't want those letters at all. And it, so yeah, that's the idea. And you know, you miss one little thing or you know whatever, then all of a sudden you get an IRS letter, and then they're, you know, and it's really like no big deal. Here's the fix. But then that kind of starts to erode that trust a little bit, or that, like, just, you know, I've got a person that takes care of this, so that this shouldn't happen. I mean, and sometimes it happens because of they don't give us information. I mean, obviously, the, you know, sometimes mistakes get made, but I mean, it, you know, you try to avoid those types of things at all costs.
A lot of moving parts.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it's definitely. I mean, we get new clients that way too because they get an IRS letter and they're just like, I need, you know, I don't know what to deal with this. But it's also interesting because there's people that I work with now that they, this one couple, they worked. They did their return on their own for like, I mean, forever. And like for three or four straight years, they got a letter from the IRS saying they did something wrong on their return. And they just thought it was no big deal. And it's like, oh, the IRS corrected it for us. And they're just like, that's cool. You know, like,
wow.
You know, like most people, like the idea of getting an IRS letter is just like,
the world's that's how heart attacks happen, right?
Yes, exactly. And so it's like, it's, you know, don't you think maybe after a couple of years of getting letters, maybe. That was a sign that you shouldn't, because I mean, taxes are one of those things that if you do it right, and even accounting and payroll and all those other things we do, if you do them right, you really should never hear from the IRS. There shouldn't be any communication. It's kind of this, like, some people have a hard time grasping that. It's like, you know, I send your return in and I just hit, you know, go through the system and the IRS says it's accepted. Yeah, that is, you know, they kind of, that's good. Like, there's no other questions. So it's interesting how that works.
Man. They just, oh, it's our annual IRS letter.
Yeah, basically. Like, oh, I'm glad they fixed it for us.
We got life insurance and we got the IRS letter. No, Aunt Doris sent us a Christmas card. That was nice work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what have been some mistakes that you've made in business? Or any regrets that you have?
Regrets? I think, you know, for me, the regrets would be, I think right now it's more, not when I started so much, I don't have a lot of, the way I think back on it, I think I feel like I did it the right way, kind of did right by my family. But for me, the big thing I'm trying to fight is making sure I don't let my business overtake my life.
Fair.
So that's, talk about, like, I mean, yeah, there's sure there's, you know, procedural things that maybe should be done a little bit, but I mean, the big thing for me is making sure that my business doesn't become all encompassing and I don't become that person that is working all the time.
Right.
And whether that's, you know, mainly for my family.
Right.
But that's my big concern is that, you know, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that dad that absent. I'm absentee for 3 months out of the year.
Sure.
And I can live with that as long as I'm present more than just normal the rest of the year.
So in exchange for.
Yes, exactly. So that's where I'm at a point where I want to take back is my business has continued to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm transitioning from a point of owning my job to owning a business.
Perfect. Ideal, so right?
That's what, yeah. And I, that talk about things I didn't understand when I started.
Sure.
You got to think about that. I never thought about that.
Right.
Until probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Sure. Oh, really? That long?
Probably.
All right.
Probably realistic. Oh, yeah, probably three. You know, I got to know you, what, probably 4 or 5. So somewhere in that range. Yeah. Sure. But I never thought about, like, I just, you know, you're kind of, in one respect, you're just going one day in front of the next.
Sure.
Right? Just,
yep.
You know, try to help more people, try to do, take care of the things you need to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Never really thinking of, like, how big do I want this thing to be?
Sure.
And I just, you know, when I started, I wanted to get to a point where I, you know, made a very comfortable income so we could mm-hmm. live a certain lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about, you know, like, well, that, you know, what's the balance of what's my time?
Sure.
You know, and so that's been a big thing for me is now wanting to say, well, I want to be able to go on vacation
mm-hmm.
and not have to worry about work.
Sure.
While I'm gone. I can't do that right now.
Gotcha.
Interesting story. The first time, so we, one of our main goals, Natalie and I's goals, was to travel.
Okay.
And so a couple of years ago, we got debt free and we got to a point where we said, okay, we can start traveling. Our kids are a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And so our first big family vacation where we were flying was we're going to San Diego.
Okay.
We're huge Lego fans. We're going to Legoland, SeaWorld, oh, nice. Sure. All that fun stuff out there.
All right.
And we're getting, and so we take a trip after every tax season, kind of as a catch up on family time. Sure. A little bit. So we're getting ready to leave and getting all the bags packed. And of course it's a big deal because we got 4 boys and it's like, you know, and then I sit there and I just nonchalantly like pack my laptop.
Yeah.
My laptop in my briefcase and now sure. it's going to be my carry on mm-hmm. the plane. And Natalie said to me, she's like, well, why do you have to bring that?
Oh.
And I'm like, well, because I can't, we're going to be gone for 8 days.
Sure.
And I'm like, I can't ignore my clients for 8 days. I mean, sure. I do some payroll processing mm-hmm. and things. So, I mean, there's weekly tasks that have to be done. And I'm like, I can't just ignore
sure.
this going on. I mean, and she was just like flabbergasted about that. Like, what? We don't get to just go on vacation? Like,
sure.
you have to. So that's been one of the goals that we're working towards is getting mm-hmm. to a point where I can go on a vacation without having to take my laptop.
Or you have employees that can fill in the gaps, yes. kind of thing. Okay.
You know, and sure. not have to work. For me, I personally don't care. It doesn't bother me to take my laptop. I mean, obviously my business is my life. I mean,
sure.
You know, or a significant portion of it.
Right, right.
So I don't have a problem mm-hmm. taking a half hour early in the morning
sure.
or later at night
right.
and just logging in and checking some emails and taking care of things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't
right.
ruin my vacation experience or mm-hmm. anything like that. It's just kind of how I feel some of my dead time. Some people work out. I'm not a workout guy. You know,
sure.
it's like, sure, I'll take care of things on my business.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was kind of a big deal for her
sure.
to take care of. And now it's become a bigger deal for me, just understanding the ability to really disconnect from it
uh-huh.
and how
okay.
important that is to just say, I'm not going to have anything to do with this for a period of time.
Sure.
And not have to think about it at all. And then you start thinking about other things and you
sure.
focus on, you know, other goals in your personal life and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because after I started Calls on Call, I remember the first month my wife and I were able to go on vacation and it was only, we went a long weekend in Florida kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at my phone on the hotel bedside table or whatever. And I'm like, going to the beach when you got to carry your wallet and all your stuff is kind of a pain. Mm-hmm. It was just her and I. And I thought, I'm going to leave my phone in my hotel room. And it was kind of like, I'm just unshackled now all of a sudden.
Yep.
And realistically, that was a shackle of my own creation,
yep.
right? Like, all you had to do was walk away from it.
Yep.
But I'm like, okay, you're going through this checklist in your head just to go to the beach. Like, it's like Friday afternoon. Half the world's not even working anyways, right.
right?
But I'm like, oh, holy cow, for this few hours, I can be away without my phone, and it was liberating.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no one chained this to me, right? It wasn't like, oh, you started a business, you got to duct tape this to your chest now. It was my own creation kind of thing.
Yes.
And putting stuff in place to gain that freedom. It was weird that when people start their business and they're just their one-man show or whatever with no trajectory or desire for growth, I'm like, you're kind of bottling yourself up a little bit,
right.
or your customer service is maybe not as high as it should be.
Sure. Yeah. One thing I to kind of add on that point is about one thing I've really worked on is managing expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another person, a friend of mine, we talk about that as business owners, and like how in today's world, like this expecting like an immediate response to an email or a phone call or something
yeah.
like that.
Yep.
And in managing people's expectations that, mm-hmm. you know, that's not, you know, that's not, it's okay if you get back to me within a day, you know,
sure.
like obviously you can't just never do it, but,
right.
but I mean, but this idea where it's this instant, like, cause then once you start that with new clients,
oh, then they expect it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I sent you an email and like you quick turn around and respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, that's what they expect. And so then like when you're busy, like for me, like this time of year,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden I'm not getting to check my emails until,
sure.
you know, later in the day or something. And they're
yep.
like, why haven't you gotten back to me?
Mm.
You know, they don't say, okay, so they don't say that, right? It's
sure.
not like they come out and say that, but it's like this, like, well, he's not responding, you know,
sure.
He's not being as responsive.
Been
as
7 minutes.
Yeah.
Where's the response?
Exactly. So like, I find myself at times trying to, you know, oh, I'm sitting in front working on emails,
mm-hmm.
but I'll just pull back rather and just, I'll deal with that later. Or
sure.
what I've started to do, a little trick I do is I will type the response up
mm-hmm.
so that I can have it off of my plate to do,
yep.
but then just not send it.
Schedule the send. Perfect. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I'm totally guilty of that as well,
yep.
which is great because there were times when you're checking email and email replies are coming in faster than I can respond to the ones that are in there.
Yep.
So I feel like, man, I'm one step forward, two steps back.
Yep.
Where now you set up your emails to send at a different time when I'm not checking my emails. And it's easier to maintain a inbox zero and then the email responses come back at a time when you can actually confront those emails or deal with them.
Yep.
So that's interesting. It's one of the benefits of email, right?
Yes.
Is a scheduled send and
yep.
yeah, organization there.
Yep.
Fun. So you, how many employees do you have?
I have two other people that work for me right now.
Okay. And would you consider them a blessing or a curse?
Oh, definitely a blessing.
Okay.
Definitely a blessing. I mean, one of them's my wife.
Okay.
So if she's listening,
sure,
you're a blessing.
Total blessing.
Total blessing. No, I mean, and she had a career before we had kids, and
sure,
she, you know, she handles more of the office administration stuff.
Okay,
and so I mean, she's that's her thing. She was a retail manager, kind of
oh,
working
wow.
up the corporate ladder. So
sure,
I mean, she's used to managing organizations and resources and things like that. So
okay,
so she does a lot of that stuff, and
sure.
then I also have a part-time guy that helps me out during tax season.
Okay,
and he was, you know, it was a personal relationship that
okay.
I had with him before we started. He was semi-retiring, didn't want to fully retire, but was interested in, always had somewhat of a background in some different financial stuff, but you know, and it was like, sure, let's, you know, I go golfing with him.
Sure.
You know, he's
oh,
a
nice.
Friend of mine, like
okay.
who just decided he would like, well, I'd rather work for you than this other jerk I'm working for right
sure.
now.
Sure, right, right.
So, so for me, it's been a huge, I've been very fortunate. I think, you know, I'm nervous about the next step.
Sure.
Because the next person I need to hire is going to need to be, I'm going to actually, it's going to be a real employee, if that almost makes sense.
So you're talking like a full-time CPA.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like the next person I'm going to have to hire is going to have to be like somebody I'm actually going to have to go through like an actual hiring process
sure.
for.
Your wife didn't have to fill out a resume.
No, yeah,
or anything.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So I am, you know, that, and I've seen in all the businesses that I help,
mm-hmm.
how a bad employee can just
oh my
set
gosh.
You back.
Oh my gosh.
Right. We could
biggest
probably
pain.
Say, yes.
Yeah.
So really trying to learn from mistakes other people have made
mm-hmm.
to try
mm-hmm.
to not make that same mistake.
Right.
That's
yeah.
that's going to be the biggest thing for me.
That could be a huge deal.
Right.
Could, yeah. Totally understand. We can have a whole nother 5-hour radio show about mistakes with employees. Do you have a favorite customer story?
I'll tell you one for this. Actually just happened this morning. It's
okay.
been my favorite one so far this year.
Nice.
So, this is a divorced mom.
Okay.
And she's been divorced for many years. She homeschools her kids,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have much of an income because she just gets a little bit of money from her ex-husband,
sure.
takes care of the kids. Kind of a, I'd say the typical thing you see with like a, you know, a divorce ends up sometimes.
Sure.
And so she had started a little small business,
mm-hmm.
tutoring business, to try to bring in some extra income as
sure.
her kids have gotten a little bit older and allowed her a little bit of time to do that and hopefully
okay.
trying to make her life better.
Sure.
And so she, you know, last year had done her taxes on her own and she had just started her business and, you know, was super worried about, you know, estimated tax payments and how much do I owe and all this other stuff. And so she came in, got my name through the Dave Ramsey program, which is where I get a lot of leads from, and being his endorsed local provider. And she came in and, you know, I was like, you know, you're going to be in good shape because you've got three kids to claim and you didn't make a ton of money. And she, because she was all worried she owed taxes. So, so she came in and she's like, oh, I'm going to owe because I made, you know, X amount of dollars. And I'm like, well, you know, you get credits and things for having kids. And there's what's called the earned income credit, which is some free, basically, government assistance or refunds you can get. And I knew based on the numbers that she was going to qualify for that. And I'm like, no, I think you're going to be fine. And then she was a little like, okay, we'll see. I was like, there's no way you're going to owe. And so she came in this morning to pick up her return, and she ended up getting back like over $6,000
Oh wow!
And she was she started bawling in my office.
Good kind of crying.
Yeah, good crying because she was just overwhelmed. Because this was money for her that was going to allow her to pay off her van and take care, basically have some money in the bank. As for, she's been divorced for 8 years, and for 8 years, basically she made just enough money every month to get over what her bills were. Never much extra, and three triplets actually. So, you know, that, and so she was like, I've been, it's been a struggle for 8 years, and her business is taking off. She's able, so she's going to make more money that way. And then to be able to get this money back, and she had no idea that this is, was even possible. She thought, they said she viewed her taxes as they were going to be a problem this year. And so for to do a complete 180 from it being like it was going to be a problem to be a blessing for her was just awesome. That was just awesome.
Good time.
She just, you know, she just, you know, and then she said to me at the end, and this is just a little bit of a appreciation of what you do in life. So she says, so she's like, I'm going to pay off my van. I'll put some money in the bank. And I told my kids, if this appointment went well and the results were good, which I think she thought like she'd get like back half of what she's like, we're going to go out to eat.
Oh, nice.
So you think about how, that's how much she has struggled over 8 years where, I mean, that's something we do a lot as a family is eat out. You know, it's like, and like for her to like that, that's going to be like a once a year thing. Like they don't do that. They don't have the money to do that. So one, it was a, it was really cool to be able to help somebody like that. Cause a lot of, it's not as rewarding as that most of the time. I mean, but then also to just kind of a little bit of a check of like, gosh, it better be, maybe it'll be a little bit more appreciative of all I have.
The whole appreciation thing, gratitude.
So that was pretty cool. So that was, to be able to help somebody like that is pretty
nice. That's awesome. Super cool. So I have a few other questions for you in the short amount of time that we have here. What do you use as a system, if you have one, in regards to making decisions? So I know you just bought a building, right? So you're in a new office, right? So what did you run through in your head in order to pull the trigger on something like that?
Well, I mean, the big thing is, you know, when, you know, well, building, you have to figure out, I mean, you know, it's kind of a standard, especially if it's a commercial building, you have to have so much down. So how am I coming up with this much, this amount of money down? I mean, and then it was a matter of, you know, that's kind of the easier part of it. Then it's like, well, is this where we want to be long term? Because, you know, we bought the building. It's where our office is. It's like, okay, well, does it give us room to grow? Does it, you know, and so just kind of evaluating, you know, was it, you know, other options, So, what are the other options? Well, renting is really expensive of office space. And this place wasn't that bad. So, that's kind of cool. You know, so, you know, you kind of run those costs and I kind of, you know, it was one of those things, once again, kind of like new in my business, I knew that I was probably going to do that. I kind of knew that we were going to end up at this point at some point because I just knew that I wanted to dabble in real estate rather than pay
for, somebody else
for 30. I mean, you know, say I'm in business for 30 more years. I mean, how much rent am I going to pay in that amount of time?
A lot.
Versus owning in with what I do, what I, where we're at specifically. And it's a nice location. It's a, you know, we've actually gotten a lot of compliments about how we redid the office and things like that. But like where we're at does not specifically matter. Like, you know, the fact that we're tucked away in the Nature's Preserve Office Park where there's no visibility to any main road matters zero. So, so it was really just a matter of running the numbers. Kind of, and for me, it's a lot of, I mean, I hate to say it, the fit the, but a lot of it's just like out of my gut. I knew what I wanted to do. And I just kind of, you know, and that's kind of for me, actually, the next step
okay.
of hiring an employee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's like. Like that, I don't have any experience
hiring them
that.
Or knowing.
Well, just any of it, like hiring them, you know, when to pull the trigger,
sure.
how to manage it, how to set up even better systems.
Sure.
Because I've just always kind of just done my thing
mm-hmm.
and treated people well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I know numbers and I know money and things like that
sure.
based on what I do.
Sure.
So that part has never been hard to grasp,
mm-hmm.
but it was just like, you know, so this next step is like, you know,
a little scarier?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You said, yeah, that was fast.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, it's education, right?
Yes.
And chances are the first few may or may not go so well, right? Or there'll be some challenges.
Certainly.
I joke with some people, like employees or like people standing in line at an airport. They all have baggage. Some of it, you're like, how are you getting that on the plane? And others just have a little fanny pack or something like that. So the weird thing is that most of them just don't show you how much baggage they have until much later or some training or something like that.
Yeah.
I had one employee I told her just leave your bags at the door, right? It's completely up to you if when you leave you want to pick them back up. You can store them here overnight if you want. But just like leave your bags at the door. Just speaking figuratively, like you got so much in your head just going on that's interrupting your job that, and realistically she was 20 something, so she didn't have any problems, but perceptually she thought she had problems. Yeah. Right. I'm like, my boyfriend or like no kids, good job, just zero or on the verge of zero responsibility outside of this job. But from her perception, the baggage was like, holy cow, this is like Santa on Christmas Eve, right? So I'm like, leave your bags at the door. Do your job, yep. And then when you leave, whatever, go back. So it'll be fun. It'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's something you got to do to grow.
Yep.
Right? Like there's no other option, right?
Besides basically just turning off the growth.
Yeah.
And just saying,
and that's
not
no fun.
Not accepting any new clients. Like
no.
I heard about that a lot of CPAs do that, because a lot of CPAs just want to own their job.
Sure. Yep.
To a certain extent. They make a certain amount of money, live a comfortable lifestyle. That's
mm-hmm.
all they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was just crazy.
Right.
Like, what do you mean you're not accepting new clients?
Right.
Like, how is that even?
That's
like,
smart.
I get that question all the time. Like, I get that question all the time. Are you accepting new clients?
Wow.
I mean,
that's become the industry standard.
Yeah. Are you accepting new clients? I'm like, yes. Like, why would I never accept? Like, I don't ever want to say, like, no, I'm not going to
right.
take this on. I mean, there have been a few things that I've seen that are not in my wheelhouse that
sure.
I have kind of started to turn down a little
mm-hmm.
bit, or just kind of say, you know, maybe there's another option that you can do this or something.
Sure. So I did, for the people listening, I just want to give them a reminder, I guess. So you got legacy tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also do some other stuff.
So legacy tax and financial services. So, I mean, we're a full service CPA firm, and that we do taxes, accounting, bookkeeping, payroll processing. And then
okay.
we also do investment management.
Oh,
so,
gotcha. Okay.
So we help people with their 401ks and IRAs and.
Gotcha.
Like
okay.
That, so.
Okay. So pretty anything with a dollar sign, essentially, you can.
Probably. Right. And the advantage of it is that it's kind of a we have an eye on both. You know, everything. So,
sure.
you know, sometimes financial advisors and tax people don't always talk well together.
Sure.
Some do. Some financial advisors are great
sure.
at talking and having taxes in mind.
Okay.
And other ones are just like, do this. And then it's like, well, wait, shouldn't you really do a Roth IRA? Because, you know, the tax consequences of a
sure.
Roth IRA in the future. But they're just like, you know, SEP IRA. And then there's certain accountants that don't understand the investment side. And they're just like.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Gotcha. Well, awesome, Brandon. It was good having you. I
yeah,
appreciate it.
Thanks, James.
So we are rolling here. We're going to try to figure out how to get this moving, this rocking song. I just want to jam. So
okay.
it's all good. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios Radio, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. I am James Kateman, business coach at Draughton Customers Business Coaching and author of the Bold Business Book. And jammer to good 70s songs all across the land. We'd like to thank you, our listeners, and our guest, Brandon Donkersgood from Legacy Tax and Financial. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. And, of course, you can also find us morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on drawincustomers.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Stay awesome and enjoy the process.